Hallelujah. Well, glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill towards men, the Word of God says. And how we are celebrating today. How grateful we are today for what God has done through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am so excited today because I know that He is my Redeemer and my Redeemer lives. Oh, glory to God. I pray that you are rejoicing with me today as we celebrate this great Resurrection Sunday. God is so awesome and He is so amazing. And there is none like Him. There is nothing like Him. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is a mighty, mighty force in the midst of our lives because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I am so grateful today to be in the midst of the Lord and in the midst of this time of worship. I'm so grateful for our worship team and for that wonderful selection that solo Shari just sang. And we are so thankful that God is still at work in the midst of His people. Well, I pray that you are operating in the power of the presence of God and that there is an anointing of the Spirit of the Lord flowing in the midst of your house. And that is the very place that we need to be, in the midst of God's presence. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I would like to begin here today with the Word of God as we open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4:14, which is our lead verse for today. And it says, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Him, Jesus, and will present us with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is going to raise even us up one day. And that is because Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. And because He conquered death, He becomes our living hope. And we have so much to be grateful for and to be thankful for. And that is why I'm using as a theme today, the benefits of the cross. The benefits of the cross. Well, join me as we pray. Well, we are so grateful, Heavenly Father, for your word today. And we ask, O Lord, that you would show yourself mighty and strong in the midst of us. We ask, O God, that you would glorify yourself even as we are entering into your word and as we are hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. Lord, we are grateful for all that Christ has accomplished through the cross. In Jesus' name, we pray and give you thanks. Amen and amen. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to jump right in because there are so many benefits to being in the family of God, to being born again, for those of us who have been born of God. And we, first off, have a hope today. We have a hope that no one else has apart from the hope that is in Jesus Christ. I know the world hopes in a lot of things, but I can tell you there is no greater hope than the hope that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so the Word of God testifies of that. As we look here in 1 Peter 1:3-4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we can see here that we are born into this hope. We are born of God. This is why you must be born again. You must be born of God. You must be born from above. Oh, that is John chapter 3. Once again, it keeps coming back at us over and over again. It is the root of everything that we have in Christ. You must be born again. It's a work of God. It is a work of the Spirit of the Lord. It is God fulfilling his promise to us. And we can see even in 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4, it says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, it's reserved just for you and I. You see, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. There is a place that's being prepared for us. That ought to make you excited. That ought to stir your heart and enable you to rejoice even right now. Hallelujah. The Word of God tells us that we have this inheritance, and it's imperishable, and it's undefiled. Oh, it is pure. It will not fade away. You can't lose it. It's established. It's reserved in heaven for you if you have been genuinely born again. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, 12 says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? You see, there were some of the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. They did not believe in these things. And so he goes on and he says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And so the argument is, if this didn't happen, then all of this is not even real. It's not even true. But we all know better because the Holy Spirit testifies. The witness of God testifies, and history testifies, and those who were there, the eyewitnesses, all testify, and all of those who were in the presence of Jesus, that group of 500 who were there as he ascended, they all testify that he rose up from the grave. And saints of God, we know that Jesus rose from the grave. We know that it is true. Verse 14 says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. And we know that, moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testify against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. And in fact, the dead are not raised. And so all this that we are doing would not even be a valid argument. It would not even be a valid experience if Christ was not raised. And so he says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, not even Jesus. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're lost. All those of our loved ones who died, if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, then all of them are also perished. They are also just dead and gone. But we do know better, don't we? We know that the Word of God testifies that there are benefits to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has been the firstborn of many brethren, so that we too can have and look forward to this experience of being raised up in the Spirit of God through Christ and his resurrection. In Matthew 27, 52, it says that when Jesus died on the cross during that time, it says that the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. They were raised up from the grave. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and they appeared to many people. In other words, there were witnesses. This is not just something that someone made up. It's not just something that people are using as a tool to propagate their own will and their own way, but it's a reality when Jesus was raised, many others were also raised in that region, in that area. In verse 54, it says, "Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened. And they said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" You see, there were witnesses. There were people all around. In John 5:24, the word of God tells us that it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Oh, saints of God, I pray that you are one who hears the word of Jesus, hears the word of God, and believes in him who sent Jesus. And that is God the Father. And that means you will have eternal life. And you do not come into judgment, but have passed out of death into life. That is what it means to be born of God, to be born again. This is what God is doing in the midst of us when we have had this experience. In verse 25, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Oh, I pray that you have what Judge Judy calls your listening ears on. I pray that you have your listening ears. Do you have listening ears? Oh, many teachers in school, they have said, I remember when I was a kid in school, they would say, "Put on your listening ears." I pray that you have listening ears so that you can hear and discern the voice of the Spirit of God, so that you will be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and that when God speaks, you will hear the voice of the Son of God. And when you hear, you will have life imparted to you. Oh, I pray that you're able to hear the word of God today. I pray that life is being imparted to you today. In John 5:26, it says, "For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." And so Jesus has been given authority. He has been given life, and then he has been given authority. And I pray that you understand that in Christ there is authority. Jesus has authority. He has the power. It's been given into his hands. He is the one who has given us the life that we now have. In verse 28, it says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Ooh, my Lord. It says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Well, saints of God, Jesus is always about doing the will of the Heavenly Father. And we too must be people who are willing and seeking to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Not our own will, not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord, O God. And that is what God has called us to. We ought to be a people who are seeking to accomplish the will of God, to do what is right. We know that if we obey him and do his will, there is a place for us. This is our hope. This is the very thing that we hold on to. Oh, it is probably the primary benefit of having Christ in your life, of knowing that you have a place that has been prepared for you, and that Jesus is already working on that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, in John 11:24, it says that Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies." Woo, hallelujah. Do you hear that, saints of God? So many people have died because of the coronavirus. So many people are suffering. But the word of God says, if you are in Christ, even if you die, you will live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God, because you win even if you die. Oh, I am so thankful that even in death, there is victory. It's been swallowed up by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, and everyone who believes and who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This was the question he asked. He asked her, do you believe this? I'm asking you today, do you believe this? If you believe it, you ought to shout, yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. I believe it. I believe it. That is what God has called us to say, even as Martha said, she believed. And so the next benefit is we were ransomed. We have been ransomed by God. God has ransomed us, and he has paid our sin debt. Hebrews 9:15 says, for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Well, hallelujah. Well, we are so grateful. The writer of Hebrews, it says that we are able to hold to this promise. We are able to receive this promise of eternal inheritance. You and I in Christ, we have an eternal inheritance. That's what Jesus died to provide us with. He died that we may have this eternal inheritance, not just for a little while, but for all eternity. That was his desire. That was the desire that he has for us. Well, 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6 says, for there is one God, one mediator also between God and man. It is the man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is our mediator. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, the word of God says, and he is there ever making intercession for us. God is always hearing of the intercession of Jesus in behalf of the believer, of those who belong to him. And saints of God, we know that we can cry out in the name of Jesus, because he is the one mediator that we have. He is the one who is making a way for us. He is the one who died for us, and he has given us hope in these very things, and he has ransomed us. He has liberated us for this very purpose. He paid our debt. Verse 6 says, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Oh, this excites me so much, because I know that he has given himself as a ransom for me. For me. That means so very much to know that someone would pay my debt. The ransom, my sin debt is paid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your sin debt is paid if you have given your life to Christ, if you have sacrificed yourself in behalf of serving the Lord, giving your heart to Jesus, surrendering your will to Jesus. Oh, saints of God, there is a testimony that we all should have through Christ. In Titus 2:14, Paul says to Titus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. You see, this is what we are giving ourselves to God for. We are surrendering ourselves to God because he redeemed us from every lawless deed and for the purpose of purifying for himself. God is purifying us for himself, a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. I pray that your desire is to do good deeds today. Your desire is to do the will of God today, to see other people blessed, to help others, and to be able to stand in the gap as one who is being used of the Spirit of God to be a blessing to many. Jesus died so that we would have all of our lawless deeds covered by the blood of Jesus, that it would be washed away, that we would be purified for himself. Many people are washing their homes with bleach and water, and they're scrubbing things down, and we're wiping things down, and people are wearing masks, and they've got all kinds of things because they're trying to keep themselves pure from the coronavirus. And I tell you that there is even a greater thing that we need to be purified from. It is lawless deeds. It is those things that are contrary to the will and the ways of God. And when we are purified from those things, oh, we become a possession of God, and we become zealous for good deeds. That's what the Spirit of the Lord does in us. That is what God is working out in us. And next, we have been reconciled. We have been reconciled to God. Once we've been washed and we've been cleaned and we have been purified, now we can be reconciled. Now God can say, come to me. He says, now you can enter into a relationship with him. And so now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says that we have been given this ministry of reconciliation, that this is what God reconciled us to do, that we might be reconciled to him so that we would help others to also be reconciled. Are you sharing your faith in Christ with those in your life? Are you being a living witness and a testimony to those who need to hear and know what God has done for them and in their behalf? I pray that you have. In verse 19, it says, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Saints of God, we have the word of reconciliation. We have of this duty that God has given us, this charge that we are to help carry out this work, each and every one of us, that God started, that Jesus established by conquering death and being raised up from the grave, this ministry of reconciliation that the world has now available to it. And we must be those who are testifying and bringing forth this word, the purveyors of the word of God, the testimonies of God that he has committed to us, this word of reconciliation. In Colossians 1:20, Paul goes on and he says, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. This is what Jesus has done. He's reconciled all things to himself. He's made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of Jesus brings peace in your life. It brings peace upon each of those who receive the work of Jesus, the very accomplishment of the cross, what he did for our sins. Oh, saints of God, we have so much to rejoice about today, so much to be thankful for today, so much to be excited about today. God is doing abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. Oh, I love that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we have also now been redeemed. Glory to God. We have been redeemed. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We are bought back. God takes us back. It says the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You see, this is why we are able to be brought back into the presence of God. You see, sin and our sinful condition Thanks, Adam and Eve down there in the garden. But because of that sinful condition that was brought upon us, we now needed a redeemer. We needed someone who was going to liberate us, someone who will purchase us back, who will buy us back. And that's what Jesus did. He purchased us back. He redeemed us. He paid our debt and he bought us back. And so it is all finished. The forgiveness of our trespasses is done according to the riches of his grace. And Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. You see, Jesus rescued us. He rescued us from this present evil age. Do you know that this age is evil? Oh, I bet you do. I don't think we have to tell you that. But this age is evil, but we've been rescued. Hallelujah. We've been rescued so that no matter how things pan out, we win. We live. And we celebrate that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of what God has done in the midst of our lives. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Hallelujah. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Well, Jesus was hanged on a tree. And that prophetic word that came forth from the Old Testament is now being reiterated here by Paul to the Galatians. And he is reminding them that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Think about that for a minute. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And all those laws and all those things that was given to Moses, Jesus fulfilled them all. And because he fulfilled them all, it is as if we have fulfilled them all. And we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 44:22 even says, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Oh, glory to God. You know, I could just see this picture in my mind of God just wiping away all of our sins. He's moved out the kryptonite that was in our lives so that we can run to him and we can come to him. And we are now being beckoned by God. He's calling us and he's saying, return to me. Come home, everyone. Come home. Your Father awaits you. Come, come. I have redeemed you. I've paid your sin debt. I have released you from all of those transgressions and sins that would burden you or hold you down or hinder you from experiencing my love and my provisions in your life. Oh, what an awesome passage. What an awesome passage. And because of that, we are renewed in God. We have been renewed. Oh, we are new creations in Christ. We have been established anew. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. I love that word. He's a new creature. Hallelujah. A lot of creatures out there, and a lot of them are newly creatures. I think I'm one of those creatures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord says, the word of God says that the old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Amen. Everything is made new. Why? Because we have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Oh, we are new creations in Christ, new creatures in Christ. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Oh, I'm excited about new things. I know you are probably excited about new things also. Everyone likes things that are new. Old and busted has to go when the new comes in. Hallelujah. In Colossians 3:10, it says, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. This is what is at work in us. This is what God is doing in the midst of us. we are putting on this new self. It doesn't just magically happen. You have to put it on. Just like you put on a suit jacket. Just like you put on your pants. You put on your shoes. You put on your clothes. You have to put it on. If you don't put it on, just because you have it in the closet, it doesn't mean that it's doing you any good. It's not until you put it on that you get the full use of the purpose for which it was made. And so, saints of God, we have to put on the new self. And that means we have to make an effort. We have to begin to do what the Word of God says. I pray that you are doing what the Word of God says, that you are not just magically waiting for some magic to happen or some supernatural spiritual transformation to happen without you having put on the new self. Hallelujah. We have to put it on. Well, Colossians 3:11 goes on and it says, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, as circumcised and uncircumcised, the barbarian, the Scythian, the slave, the free man, but Christ is all and in all. Every one of us has the opportunity, regardless of our status in this world, regardless of our birth rights or position or culture we're from or what people group we're from or what nationality, it just does not matter. What race we're from, none of that matters. When you're in Christ, there is no distinction between any of that. We are all in all. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:23 says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, in the spirit of your mind. And so now this is where the renewal begins. This is how you begin to put on. You have to have your mind renewed. Yes, we know the importance of that. We know that it tells us in the Word of God that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, this is where many Christians fail. This is where many Christians fall short. They fail to renew their minds. And we must renew our minds. We must meditate on the Word of God day and night. That goes again back to Psalm 1 once again. We have to be that tree planted by the rivers of living water. The Word of God tells us that we have to have the Word of God dwelling in us richly. We have to be transformed, Paul says, by the renewing of our mind in Romans 12. And so we must be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And so, saints of God, we must learn to apply all of these things in our lives because of what Jesus did on the cross. We've been ransomed. We've been reconciled. We've been redeemed. We've been renewed. And all of that equals hope. It equals the hope that Christ has provided for us through the cross, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray today that you are experiencing the benefits of the cross. I pray that you know him in the pardon of your sins. I pray that you are celebrating, bringing glory and honor to his name, lifting him up, testifying of him everywhere you go, and giving him all the honor and all the glory, because Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive and he has been raised up from the grave. And not only is this good for the fact that he was raised, but it's good for you and it's good for me, because so many have been raised up also in Christ. And I pray that you are experiencing the liberty and the glory of God like never before, that you are seeing the manifestations of God like never before, that you are ransomed, you're reconciled, you're redeemed, and you are renewed and filled with hope, filled with celebration, and filled with praise and glory to God. Amen. Well, amen. God bless you. And I pray that your Resurrection Sunday is one filled with rejoicing and celebration for what Jesus has accomplished just for you. Hallelujah. Amen. And glory to God. I pray to see you soon in Jesus' name. Oh! God has done for you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that the benefits to the cross are really immeasurable, knowing that you have been ransomed, reconciled, redeemed, and renewed. All those things bring hope. And that is why we celebrate today. That is why today is the day of the ultimate celebration in the Christian community. It's because Jesus is alive. And we are so grateful and we are so thankful that you are able to celebrate with us here at the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. And I pray the Spirit of the Lord would be with you and upon you as we enter into this new season of rejoicing for the Lord because of all he has done. And I pray that you have been blessed by the word of the Lord and the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that have been sung and the word of the Lord that you have received for yourself to transform your life into a powerful testimony and witness unto God. Well, God bless you and thank you for celebrating with us at the Orange County Gospel.